You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Now, let's continue with Gold Hawk Fights Back with Dale Gold Hawk. Zoomer Radio.
I always do that. I always come in a little early on Paul. Susan Eng is nodding. She's in the studio. She's the executive vice president of CARP, and she's here to help us continue with our political conversation. I've been asking people, Susan, in the first hour, what their expectations are about the campaign. A couple of people have been patiently waiting through the news, so let's talk to them and see what their expectations are. Here's Linda in Toronto. Linda, what did you want to say about this campaign?
Oh, hi. I already voted.
And good.
I was in a bind as to who to vote because I would have supported Trudeau, but in our own riding, I've never heard anything about from the local candidate.
Uh-huh.
And I hated to see Peggy Nash in High Park, Swansea, not being able to get back. So that's a system of government we have.
Yeah.
So it's a decision you vote for the party or you vote for the person.
Yeah, it's now, tough sometimes.
Yeah. And also, there was a really good turnout last night at High Park because by 7:30 after the Blue Jays game on TV, everybody was rushing to vote.
Everybody wanted to vote right after the game, right?
Oh, good.
After the game. There was nothing going on before that, apparently. I was told because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And myself, I walked there, and there's a lot of people. There's a really good turnout. So
good.
That's my only comment. I think my comment is about, do I vote for the party or do I vote for the person?
Yeah.
I voted
yeah.
for the person this time because yeah. I'd like to see Peggy Nash go back.
All right, Linda. Thanks. Thanks very much. That's a common predicament
it
that
is.
Canadian
and
voters
we
face.
We ask that question in our polls a lot.
Yeah.
And our members say, well, they really want to vote the issues as much as they can. You know, the
yeah.
things that they believe in. And so that equals the party rather than the candidate.
I've talked to some old hand politicians about that, about both provincial and federal elections, and they say generally 10% is the local candidate, 90% is the leader.
Yeah.
Or the party, you know.
But you know what's interesting is also, I mean, what hit the news this weekend was the turnout.
Yeah.
I mean, that is now a headline. And one idea would have been to put the Blue Jays game on at the polling stations. It would have been flooded as well.
There's probably some federal regulation against that.
Oh,
or something,
that's
right?
true. But you know what? Those regulations make it very hard. I mean, during the advance polls, they require the polling clerks to hand print your name and address
I
on the
know,
form.
I know. It took forever.
So that you promise not
yeah.
to vote again. But our problem is not that people go out to vote again and again. It's that we can barely bring ourselves out to vote once.
Well, turnout in 2008, 58%, only 61% in the last election. We got a lot of room for improvement here.
Exactly.
Susan.
But it sounds like this is happening with this election. So
I
what does that
so.
Mean?
I don't
is
know.
It,
what does
is
it mean?
Is it the longer election or is it more at risk?
The longer campaign, you mean?
Yeah, the longer campaign. I'm wondering, you know, people, I think, run out to vote to make sure something bad doesn't happen, or do they run out to vote to make sure something good happens?
Well, I would have thought that more often than not, to our dismay, people defeat a government rather than elect a government.
Yeah.
Is it any different this time? I don't know.
Well, hence this week, and watch for it, the ads are going to be all negative.
Yeah.
And it will create fear. So it's going to drive people away from somebody they were going to vote for or to prevent something really awful from happening.
Well, this is the final scramble, isn't it? The last few days. Let's sample some more thoughts here from our people. Here's Paul in Toronto. Paul, what's on your mind about this campaign as it winds down?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think one of the previous callers mentioned about he's voting for Mr. Harper. I'm a small manufacturing company, been in business for 20 years, and I've lost a lot of business going to China. And I have to remind people that about 490,000 manufacturing jobs have been lost since Harper came in. And the other thing I want to know, how safe is Canada in the world stage with Mr. Harper sending our troops to bomb other countries. Thank you.
All right, Paul. Thanks. Thanks very much. Comments I've certainly heard in the campaign. Some things are themes that keep coming back and back. Economic issues are very important. Very important to your CARP members.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget, even though
including me, I'm a CARP member.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a homogeneous group.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they do care about the economy, if not jobs for themselves, then jobs for their kids. Mm-hmm. And so the question has to be on everybody's mind. So, what does your promise mean for me and my family getting and keeping jobs? Right,
we just lost
a whole bunch of manufacturing jobs, are they coming back? Did the much heralded Trans-Pacific Partnership actually get us the opportunity for more jobs, or as some have said, we're going to lose jobs in the manufacturing sector?
Well, it seems obvious we're going to lose some jobs. Why otherwise would the government be announcing compensation plans before we even know what in fact is in the package? Because we don't know.
We don't. And one of the things that's really bad about that kind of thing is we should know, and people who run a small business know this, is that you have a one-time only bailout. What does that mean structurally for your economy? You know, if you have to bail somebody out for a short-term pain, do you in fact get long-term gain?
Well, if the bailout ends in year 5 or year 3 or something, what does that person do then if they haven't been able to adjust to a new reality?
Right. And how do you get structural change in the economy?
Yeah.
You have to have a plan, and I haven't heard one.
No, we don't know enough details about – devil's always in the details, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, I should just make note before we run totally out of time here, because you and I could talk forever on these things.
Mm.
CARP has put together – quite a comprehensive list. We're not going to have time to go through the whole thing. A summary of election promises comparing what each party is saying on issues such as pensions, taxes, and the economy, health care, mail delivery, and home care, so that you can contrast and compare what each party has to say and what each party is promising in that category, right?
Right, absolutely. The first thing I will say is that every single party has said something about each of those priorities that our members tell us are top of their mind when
it comes to the election. Well, parties are sitting up and paying attention to
us
now.
They totally are. And the fact remains is that you can choose among the different promises if you wish. Of course you will.
Yeah.
But the key to remember is all of the parties have made promises to greater or lesser degrees on our priority issues. And so certainly we can compare. We certainly can say, well, this is better than that. Certainly we can say, well, if we did that, this would have that kind of knock-on effect on the economy, so I don't support it, even though it does me some good. So these are ways that we can make an informed decision in the voting box.
Because it's tough sometimes when you hear a claim and a counterclaim and then a refutation of the claim, on and on and on. No, he's right. No, he's wrong. And we're often left with our heads swimming in the middle somewhere
and
saying, who am I supposed to believe here?
And there's deliberate twisting in the negative advertising.
They all do that.
Well, they all do that, but some more than others.
Yeah.
And that's really too bad because one of them actually touches our issues. But, you know, if you look at all of them, for example, on the pension issue, it's most interesting and probably the sharpest contrast. Because we're talking about not only saving for your own retirement, but also issues around whether or not the people already retired now need some help to get by. And so that's where you see a sharp contrast among the parties.
When our colleague Libby Znaimer was out talking to the Prime Minister on Sunday, one of the things she talked about was enhancement of the CPP and how Libby was making the point that certainly with CARP members and many of our Zoomers who call us every day here very much were in favor of that kind of enhancement, although surprisingly the Prime Minister did not agree. Here's what he had to say.
For a lot of Zoomers, they simply see this as something that they would like to do for their children and grandchildren because they know it won't help them, and they're worried about the future.
I haven't met people who really want this at all. I don't think there's any evidence that people want. Nobody is asking for a compulsory payroll deduction. I don't meet businesses, and I don't meet workers who are saying, please take more money off of my paycheck to allow politicians to manage my retirement for me. I'm just not hearing that, and I notice the other guys aren't talking a lot about it. precisely because they know that if people understand this is what they're saying, they will be very concerned.
Well, I know, Susan Ng, that you are hearing that. You
Absolutely.
Are hearing that people are concerned.
Because we asked the specific question of our members and others like them to say, and if you wanted to improve retirement security for yourself or, more importantly, for your children and grandchildren, would you support a mandatory increase to the CPP?
And?
Or something like it, like the Ontario pension plan? And the answer is a resounding yes. 80% support the increase to the CPP. Mm-hmm. 73%, a slightly lesser amount, support the increase to the ORPP, the Ontario plan. So,
but still overwhelming support either way you look at it.
Yeah.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Goldhawk Fights Back on Zoomer Radio. Here is Dale Goldhawk.
Well, Susan Ng is with me. You know her. She's the Executive Vice President of CARP. We're talking about what else? The election campaign and the fact you can go on the CARP website and get all of those campaign platform promises contrasted and compared, see what each party is promising in certain categories. Pretty good manual for people to check before they vote, right, Susan?
Well, absolutely. This is what our members have told us matters to them.
Yeah.
And so we've been monitoring it.
Okay, all right. Back to the phones, and here's Gad in Toronto. Gad, what are your thoughts about this campaign?
Hi, Dale. Thank you for calling, taking my call.
Sure.
What I think is, you know, first of all, I think that people voting against, not for, that's what I think. That's it, the way it looks.
Yeah.
But what bothers me is I'm getting all kind of promises from people running to this election, and they have no track record. They didn't been in public positions, and I know what they did, if they kept their promises or not, and that bothers me a lot.
Are you talking about local candidates or the leaders?
No, I'm talking about Mr. Trudeau.
Mr. Trudeau, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, don't forget, he has a front bench of people who used to be, you know, finance minister, or rather economic development minister, immigration minister, and so on. So these are, and finance minister as well. These are people who have served in those positions. So no party rests entirely on only the leader. The leader is going to set the tone, but you rely on the front bench of each party, and you have to look very carefully at who will become the likely Minister of Finance, who has served in that position before. And if you look at it that way, you look at Harper's front bench, who all left for the private sector.
Yeah, it's but they all have their teams.
Of
course
they have their teams. It's the only way you can run a country.
Exactly. Thank you, Gad. Here is Julius in Guildwood. Julius, what are your thoughts on the campaign?
Well, I have a quick story, if you don't mind. I'll be brief and concise.
All right.
Do you remember? Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Do you remember a reporter named Eric Malling?
Yes, very well.
He was very good. He did a story on 1988, I believe, on New Zealand.
Yeah.
Does this ring a bell?
Yes, it does, vaguely.
Okay, the money people... sorry for my voice here. One second. The money people, International Money Fund, I believe, somebody like that, they said to New Zealand, you're broke.
Yeah.
You got no more money. Your credits run out, and they had a socialist government. Overnight, they privatized everything. I'm making the story simple.
Yeah.
No more subsidies. Sheep farmers. No more overtime. Teachers put on contract. Post office. No overtime. Do your job. Overnight from a socialist government.
And so the moral of the story is?
If you want Canada to go in that direction, do not vote for the other parties. Let Harper run the show.
Okay.
One more point here.
All right.
If you like the way Bob Rae ran Ontario, Wynn runs Ontario, the NDP runs Alberta, you're going to get a taste of what's coming if the other party gets in.
Yeah, but they're provincial, aren't they?
Yeah, well, switch it to a federal level.
Oh, switch it to the... All right. Julius, thanks. Thanks very much for your thought. Kathleen Wynne gets mentioned frequently in this campaign, even though she may be campaigning for Justin Trudeau, but of course she's not running. But still, those politics, people bring it all together, you know.
Well, she put herself into that position, and it's a calculated risk on her part, and I guess the federal party's part as well. But it is the most populous province, and whether other people in other provinces like it or not, this election battleground is Ontario.
It really is very much so, isn't it? Yeah. That's why the leaders are here almost all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's John in Oakville. John, your thoughts, please. John, are you there? Whoa, wait a minute. I haven't got him up. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Mr. Hawk, as I was brought up, and what I think really, Justin Trudeau, everyone just called him Justin Trudeau. They should address him as Mr. or Honorable when they're addressing him. That's my thought right now.
Yeah.
But in the same token, Stephen Harper, we call him Mr. Harper or Honorable. He should have the same respect for Justin, not as a little boy. He should respect Justin as a Mr. in his answers.
Yeah.
You know, you're right about that. You're completely right.
That's one thing I should correct Stephen Harper for his ill brought up, shall I say.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, you picked up on something that's been mentioned. And while you talk about it as a matter of respect, you know for a fact that it's a deliberate political approach.
Yeah,
and here's the thing, you see, there are two sides to that story. Justin Trudeau himself allows himself to
Stephen
be called
Harper as Mr.
Yes.
And I will call him even Mr., though I'm not going to vote for him.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go towards Mr. Trudeau because.
Mr. Trudeau, all right.
But you know, here's the thing. It cuts
Thank
both
you, John,
ways.
Very much.
It cuts both ways because, on one hand, the leaders themselves want to be referred to by their first name in order to build that bridge with the population, with their voters.
Yeah.
And so, just call me Justin, just call me Tom, although I haven't heard anybody say, just call me Steve. But when the other parties do it, when the other leaders do it, they do it deliberately, as you said, to sort of infantilize the other person.
Well,
that
especially
he's a kid.
If you have a campaign that says he's not ready.
Well, exactly so. I mean, I think that's starting to blow back.
Yeah, there isn't much of that. I mean, the Liberals, took the line hostage and now twist it and use it themselves in a commercial. Here's Mike in Scarborough. Mike, what are your thoughts about the campaign? Mike, you there? Mike? No, he's not there. All right, Mike is not there. I got time for... All right, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Wow. No, you got your...
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Mike, you got to turn the radio off. You're going to drive us crazy here. Turn the radio down. Mike? Oh, I don't know. Mike is having problems with the technology. Just a little reminder, you got to turn the radio down because, of course, we're on delay. But I must say, now for quite some time, we've been talking about the election campaign. I've talked about many election campaigns in front of many microphones. The interest level seems to be incredibly high. Everybody wants to talk about the campaign, wants to talk about the leaders. This, I guess, bodes well for democracy.
It totally does. And, you know, the kind of enthusiasm you have are people have already voted and they want to talk about it.
Yeah, even so.
You know, and I suppose maybe there is a concern that people would want to vote again. But, you know what? I think that a few things have happened. First of all, it was a longer campaign. It made a difference. Beautiful weather this weekend, and it was a holiday weekend, so families got together. Kids came home from university, right? Full a head full of steam. The issues are hot. The parties are neck and neck in many cases, and there's the air of potential for change. And if you hate change, you want to run out to the polls.
Well, and change still figures largely into most polls, doesn't it? People want change. People may not be. You can tell by the poll numbers. That people may not necessarily know which way to go, but change seems to be uppermost in their
mind.
Yeah,
and so they are, what are they trying to get? And now they have to make a decision. And it's hard because the parties have been very loud and clear. They've had time to get out the issues. We've even had time to delve into more complex issues, like pharmacare, for example. That's on the agenda. Home care. We were talking about home care. We were talking even about extended compassionate leave for people looking after, you know, seriously ill loved ones. Who gets to talk about that during an election campaign?
Well, I think that's been the upside of the long campaign.
Yes.
I think some of us groaned inwardly in the beginning thinking, oh, my goodness, it's so long. But it's been a boon, I think.
I think it has. For those of us who care about the specific issues, I would say that the media now is losing some interest. They're starting to talk about themselves now. They're talking, they're comparing different polls. They've had a poll
every
day.
Well, you know
the
media, short attention span.
Well, exactly. They're back on talking about. And so, you know, they're trying to look for things to talk about that are scintillating, right? The horse race. But if they get back down to the detail, it'll help people out in the last week.
All right. Let me take one more call. Here's Brian in Etobicoke. Brian, your thoughts on this campaign?
I must say, you know, I'm rather disappointed with the Tory ads about Justin Trudeau saying he's just not ready. That kind of implies that someday he's going to be ready. And I know the Liberals adopted him because, well, he was the son of the great Pierre Trudeau and all that, like father, like son. Problem is, the one who was like father, like son died in an avalanche decades ago. This son is just like his mother, Maggie, and if you remember Maggie, she was the wishful thinking, utopian, daydreaming, wishful thinker, you know. She was, and just, it's just not the same material as his father was.
All right, Brian, thanks. Thanks very much for that thought.
There's a lot of affection for Margaret.
Yeah, there is.
And
I think
she's
and I think there's a lot of affection and hate for Pierre Elliott Trudeau as
sure
well.
Sure there is, but you know what?
You
emotion is a funny thing. If you have a strong emotion about somebody, it gets people motivated.
Yes, it does, and that's what this campaign seems to be about. Susan, thanks very much for coming in. When next we speak, it'll be all over, and you and I will be sorting through all the tea leaves trying to figure out what happened.
Trying to guess.
Thanks, Susan.
Unlike what we're doing now.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
Susan Eng, and she's the Executive Vice President of GARP.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.